My guest today is a local author whose novel was selected as one of the top finalists and was the number two bestseller in the 2016 Nerdist Space Opera Contest. Space Tripping by Patrick Edwards is a story of inebriated interstellar space travel, rich with allusions and Easter eggs that fans of all aspects of sci-fi will appreciate. Patrick Edwards, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Let's start with a bit with a chicken and egg question, I guess, in the beginning. When you entered this contest, did you have Space Tripping already written, or did you write it for the contest?
I had it already written, actually. It took me about 15 months for me to write the first draft of it, and then I spent the next year polishing it, actually, with a wonderful group here in town, the Cincinnati Writers Project. It's an informal collection of writers and editors and just bibliophiles who get together once a week at a bar and critique each other's work. And I had literally just finished running the whole book, the whole manuscript, through that group and getting critique and feedback from everybody. And then I heard about the contest maybe a week or two after my last chapter got reviewed. So it worked out really well, actually. Got online, entered it, put it up there, and it took off.
And there were, I think by my count, maybe 85 manuscripts that were submitted?
Something, yes. Yeah, I was closing in on 100.
So for you to get in the top three, that's a pretty huge feat there.
Yeah, it's still surreal. I did a signing in Chicago where I grew up originally. And that felt surreal, but it still doesn't feel totally real. It's crazy.
You're from Chicago. What brought you to Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm. My wife and I have lived here for going on 4 years now, and we're putting down roots, actually. We're going to be staying for a while. Her work brought us here.
Okay.
She's very successful in the corporate world, and she was offered, this is right around the time we were talking about getting engaged and married, and she was given a very excellent opportunity to come out here. So we did. Actually, she did, and then we did long distance for a little over a year, and I was driving down, but yeah, right around that time I was working on the book, too.
Tell me a little bit about the story itself and the main characters.
I guess the primary main character is Chuck. He is the lone human in the story, and he is pretty run-of-the-mill, 20-something. He's a college dropout, driving a truck to make ends meet and support himself, and then he collides with Jop, who is an alien who has drunkenly crash-landed on Earth, and Jop, in his drunken stupor, attempts to steal Chuck's truck because he thinks that is also a spaceship that he can get off Earth when. Jop, not unlike Chuck, is a sort of an intergalactic transport pilot. He's a little bit more of a screw-up than Chuck is, as evidenced by him drunkenly crash-landing on a planet that isn't supposed to know about aliens existing. And he can't help himself. He always has to have the last word. He always has to have the smart quip in there. Definitely pulled on a handful of some buddies of mine growing up that Jop is definitely heavily influenced by, that always have some kind of comeback or smart retort that they have to get in there. And then it's the two of them dropped into a situation where they're forced to work off this debt that Jop owes to this massive corporation. And, of course, things don't go as planned.
Like I mentioned in the introduction, there's so many allusions and references and sub-references in your book. Obviously, Douglas Adams, I guess, would be the biggest connection. I mean, even the artwork on the cover is reminiscent of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The number 42 appears several times in the story. The sort of parasitic translation animal slash device that they use. There's lots of connections to that. Was that such a critical part of your story?
You're the first person I've talked to that has mentioned that the number 42 comes up a lot in the book, and I appreciate that. With the translator, I didn't want it to be another animal. It's a machine device, but yes, very much in that same vein. It's pretty obvious to anyone who's read it that I'm a massive fan of Douglas Adams and really appreciate his work, and Hitchhiker's Guide was definitely a large influence.
But there's other references in there, or I guess connections that a reader could make, like the black case. I connected that to Pulp Fiction. There's a reference to Star Trek and Lieutenant Crusher. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, I caught a Firefly reference in there as well somewhere.
You did. Yes, you absolutely did. The references is something that I always enjoy those in movies and TV when there's a subtle, not too, a pseudo-subtle reference to something that I get. And it's always nice to kind of have that little ping in your mind. I think what was interesting was trying to write those in a way that A, didn't feel forced, or B, didn't feel too hitting over the head with it. It wanted to be something that was some people pick up on and some won't, and that's okay. But that was definitely kind of a fun challenge.
And another thing I noticed was that you take some of your UFO ET cliches and kind of turn them on their head. Like, for instance, the people have this image of the alien of your typical Mr. Gray with the big eyes. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that character that you have in your book, because there is one.
There are a number of alien races that they encounter throughout the book. One of them is, they're called in the book, Gorthans. They have the appearance of the classic, the first image that pops in your mind when you think of an alien, the big bulbous gray head, big black eyes, small thin bodies. But rather than the superior intellect, high-level, logic-based beings, they are essentially alien hillbillies.
There's a lot of cavorting and drinking and running amok going on in the story. It's sort of espionage, something being controlled from behind the scenes, but at the same time, there's this sort of party going on at the same time. What's the narrative there of your book?
I like the idea of protagonists who are either not reluctant hero, because that means they're doing something overly heroic. They're just normal guys in Chuck's case, or normal alien guy in Job's case, who just find themselves in an unusual situation, and rather than doing anything crazy or above and beyond, basically they're just trying not to die the whole time. And inadvertently, they save the day by just kind of looking out for themselves and trying not to screw up too bad.
So what are you doing next? I've heard rumors of a sequel, but what other writing projects are you working on?
Yep. Currently, at this very moment, not doing a ton of writing with the launch going on. That's sort of taking up all excess time that there is. But I already had a sequel well in the works before this month when Space Tripping was released. That I hope to finish the first draft within the next year or so. I've already got that pretty well mapped out, where I want to take it and what I want to do with the characters. And then I have another book I'm working on. Definitely need some work. It was my attempt at a farcical fantasy book, sort of in a traditional Tolkien-esque world. But again, very much in the same vein as Space Tripping, with not taking it too seriously. Or I can't really see myself ever writing some incredibly powerful epic where the fate of the universe is on the line. It's more about just, I like creating, to me, what are interesting, deeply flawed characters, and just kind of dropping them in situations and seeing what they would do.
My guest has been Patrick Edwards, author of the novel Space Tripping. For links to more information, please visit us at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Nolan.